Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Pearls, 15 minutes of wisdom for Catholic moms. Today we're going to be doing part two of our less stressful summer series. And today we're going to be talking about things that are annoying. And when I asked this question about things that stress people out, I said, you know, what stresses you out about summer? But you don't have to be a mom. But all the responses I got were pretty much mom things. And I'm pretty sure every single one here is related to having kids. So here's the thing about kids and letting them annoy us. This is another thing from Jordan Peterson. I'll see if I can find a parenting video or something. So if you haven't read his book and that chapter on parenting, you can still get a sense of what he says. But again, he says, you know, children are naturally born barbarians. And he said, we need to teach them not only not to be annoying to other people. And he said, this isn't about popularity. We don't need to teach our kids to be popular, but we need to teach them to be kind and nice so that other people don't hate being around them, right? Like, they should just be nice enough that they're not annoying people. And that comes down to just self-awareness and I think virtues training, right? But he said, we also need to do that ourselves. He said, parents who allow their children to consistently do things that annoy them end up kind of not liking their children, and the tone of the household ends up being filled with tension and frustration, you know. And I remember if I talked about this earlier, but my husband and I were just discussing how, you know, we used to require children to stop talking and stand up when an adult entered the room to find out if that adult needed anything or wanted anything. And I don't think I've seen that happen in my lifetime. So, like, that's gone. And I don't know that I would require my kids to stand up, but I do want them to understand, like, hey, when an adult shows up, we should be respectful and give them our attention for a moment to see if there's something that they want. My husband and I have been training the kids to recognize when he and I are having a serious conversation. There are some body language things and tone of voice that the children can recognize, certainly by age five, where, you know, especially with my eight-year-old, we'll say, Rose, you can tell that we're having a serious conversation right now. And unless somebody's bleeding, if you notice that this is what we look like, we need you to just wait. Okay. And, she's gotten pretty good at that. Now we're working on the five and the almost six and almost four-year-old. Because it's really difficult to start working on something and to be interrupted. The amount of time it takes us to put our attention somewhere is a lot. And when we get disrupted from focusing on something, it takes so much energy to get back into that place of focus. Now, obviously, when you have a lot of kids or little kids, some of this can't be helped, but some of it we're allowing them to do and we don't need to. And so I remember the other day I wrote down, I was just having kind of like a grumpy day, and I'm not usually grumpy with my kids. And it was like 11 o'clock, and I was just, I felt scrunchy face, like, oh, what's going on? I just feel and really I realized it was annoyed. That was the word that I felt. And so I sat down and I wrote down everything that had happened that morning that had been annoying to me. And it was a whole bunch of little things, but I realized that some of them were things that the kids did not know annoyed me. And that's not fair. It's not fair that they were doing things that bugged me and I was allowing myself to get upset, but hadn't communicated that to them. So that might be, hey, you took out five books, you read one, and then you left all five of them on the couch. It may be, hey, I was listening to some music while cleaning the bathroom, and you came in and spoke in a really loud voice above my music, and I was really enjoying this song, right? That really annoys me when I'm, like, trying to sing a Taylor Swift song, and then the kids are trying to talk to me, and I'm just like, ugh, you are ruining my teenage moment here, you know? But they don't naturally understand that, and so all of these examples that I'm about to go over are basically things that just annoy us. And every single one of them sounded annoying to me too, and I'm sure you have some version of that. So I want you to just focus on that word a little bit this week. Notice when you're feeling annoyed. And then I want you to write down what triggered that. What triggered that feeling of just being a mom and being annoyed at the kids? Because the more we allow that to build up, that's when we tend to snap. And that's really bad for our kids because it tends to be unpredictable. And it tends to be disproportionate to whatever happened right before we snapped, right? The kids don't realize that they've done 16 things by 9:45, and knocking over their water glass and spilling it on the floor just happen, and then you freak out, right? And you're not really freaking out about the water glass. You're freaking out about the 16 things that happened before the water glass. And so psychologically, one thing that's bad for kids is unpredictable punishments or aversive experiences from their parents, and ones that are disproportionate to what they did, right? Where they're like, oh, I did a small thing, but I got a really big consequence, or I was really scared by how my mom or my dad reacted, right? And so we want to try to avoid that. But again, that comes from discernment and a quiet place and planning. And so that's why I'll, you know, jot down those things that are annoying me. And then later, from a place of clarity, I'll ask myself, should that annoy me, or is that just children? I have to work on that with my husband, right? Because he just expects everyone to be like 10-year-olds. And I'm like, honey, the 3-year-old is just not quite there yet. She's going to get there. You know, we work hard with them, but she's just not there yet, right? So I have to adjust his expectation, or we have to train them better. It's usually one of those things, okay? So when you sit down and you've identified some annoying behaviors, and this is probably a process you're going to go through really forever, but certainly all summer as new things come up, like, oh, I just gave them popsicles and it's annoying to me that they're sticky or left the sticks outside. Well, what should they do? Because it also annoys me when they come back in the house. So thinking through, okay, maybe I'll put like a plastic bag outside and tell them when you're done, you know, put your popsicle sticks here. Do they need like a moist towel to wash their hands? Like, again, it involves planning to minimize those annoying behaviors. Okay. So you're going to figure out what annoys you. You're going to come up with an action plan and communicate that to the kids. And then you need to consistently follow it up with whatever you said, right? So usually there's a consequence, either a positive consequence for doing something good or a negative consequence for doing something bad. And you really want to be consistent on that. Okay. That's not new news. We all know that we could do a better job of that. So number one, bored kids and hearing, I'm bored. Okay. Wellness Mama has a jar with popsicle sticks on it. And anytime someone says that phrase, they have to pull something out from that jar, and they're usually unusual chores that they have to do. So her kids learn pretty quickly that they're not allowed to say that, or they're allowed to. There's just a pretty clear-cut consequence for what happens. But then I think it's important that we follow that up too, because you know right now that they're going to whine and try to get out of that. And that's when I would say, oh, that's either 15 minutes off your bedtime, or they have to go to bed earlier, or I would say you just need to go to your room for 15 minutes until you can be polite, and then you can come back and try it again. You only have to do that a few times before they really get that it's not okay to challenge mom or dad on whatever they've issued as the consequence. And sometimes, by the way, this is especially true with my 6-year-old, her whining and sometimes crying just means she's exhausted. And I'll see that on her face and I'll say, you know what, honey, I think in this moment you're just really tired, so you're not thinking clearly. I want you to go lay down for an hour. And the truth is, the consequence of the hour is not because she whined about whatever I told her. It's because I can just see it on her face that she needs that time to lay down. And I explain that to her. You know, I just need you to listen to your body. Do you see what you're feeling right now? You need to go lay down. She's sick, so I don't make her nap, although she almost always passes out. But that's just what she needs. So even if I've said a rule that is, less extreme. Sometimes I'll bump that time up if I feel like they need it. But then I also explain that with more softness. Like, hey, what you did wasn't a big deal, but honey, I also just see that you're tired, so you need to go lay down. This is also true of my oldest, who just needs alone time sometimes. She's kind of introverted, and she just gets a little sharp and snarky when she's had too much time with other people. Okay, so as I continue reading these lists of annoying behaviors, the action is always the same, right? Create your discipline strategy and do it consistently, okay? Next one, chaotic house, messy, noisy. That's a big thing that happens in the summer. They're just there all the time. And so everything's louder and messier. So again, just you come up with your plan and then you do it consistently. So for us, a twice a day tidy really helps my sanity because I know that they're going to do it before or after lunch and dinner, depending on our day. Sometimes it happens before or after. So again, that's where I'm not rigid. But we do it twice a day. And then when I'm walking through and I just see, you know, the Legos and the dress up clothes and the stuffed animals or whatever, it doesn't bother me as much. I do not get triggered and I don't feel annoyed because I know, oh, that's going to get picked up at 12. And then for noisiness, same thing. I create quiet times and I create loud times. And then I love and appreciate the loud times. That sounds crazy, but now since I've been Catholic, I've wanted this big crazy circus of a family, and I love hearing them running up and down the hallway or, you know, laughing with each other, whatever they're doing. I want a home that feels like that, but it helps me to know, oh, at 10 o'clock, we're going to have quiet time. So I only have to deal with it for a certain amount of time, and then it stops being annoying to me. A lot of things feel annoying when we feel like the kids are taking advantage of us or they're going to do this forever. If I thought that the kids were going to scream and make noise forever, I'd lose my mind, right? And so having those boundaries helps. Sometimes I also create a quiet room, right? I'm like, oh, this is a quiet space. And as soon as they make noise, they have to leave. And if they do it two times, that's usually a time out by the door or time in their bedroom or, oh, you have to go outside. Outside also creates quiet time for me. And I sit right now, I sit in the room that has a sliding glass door. I lock it so I can see them come up. And unless they have to go to the bathroom or somebody's really hurt, I don't open it. I go, oh, it's time to play outside. And what I've noticed is they keep coming to the door for that first 5 minutes. And then eventually they just get into something and they play, you know, for the whole hour or however long I've decided they're going to be outside. They're safe. They don't really need to go to the bathroom within that hour. Usually, I usually make them go before. And it's pretty rare that anybody gets hurt enough that they need my help, right? So I've just decided I think it's really annoying when kids come in and out of the door. And so I just created a system that prevents that. And at night, my husband and I don't lock the door, but in the summertime, we have this rule that like when you come in, it's bedtime. So then they just stay out there forever. I love the summertime. It feels like I get a date with my husband every night because we just sit in the living room and hang out and everybody's outside because they know that when they come in, it'll be bedtime. And we do that 100% of the time, literally as soon as they walk in. I mean, unless they have to go to the bathroom. That's a legit reason. There's no bathroom outside. Then we go, oh, it's bedtime. And then we just start the jammies train and all of that. Okay. Next one, fighting kids. You know, again, first you have to decide what does fighting mean to you? What are the rules? And what's annoying to you about it? Is it the sound? Is it that they blame each other? Is it that you feel like a bad mom? Like, oh, I shouldn't have kids that are mean to each other. But again, remember, they're all born barbarians until we teach them not to be. So you don't have bad kids. They're normal, but we have to work on it. So then you just need to decide what the consequence is for that and discipline it consistently. And sometimes the consequence might be separating the kids or, oh, it's bad bedtime. I can tell you guys are being tired. In my house, when somebody fights over anything, it doesn't matter. That thing goes away. I don't even talk to them about what's going on. Oh, guess we can't have this right now. So guess how often my kids choose to work it out? Pretty often if that's what they want. And again, I mean, we have a lot of, I want to say, sharp rules like that. Like, they're really, really clear. The lines are really bright. But my house is very happy, you know? I mean, when you give kids really clear boundaries, they're happier and they figure things out and they are so smart. The next one someone mentioned was kids who don't listen. Again, that's a discipline issue. And it's important to not just have one consequence, but two backup consequences, because that's where we really get annoyed and stressed out as parents. It's not the first rule. It's that when they whine and fight the first rule, and then we don't know what to do with ourselves. Or then we say something really quickly that ends up making our own life harder, right? Like, well, you can't play with any of your friends this week. And then you're like, shoot, that's my favorite time when they go outside and play with the neighbor kids, you know? And we just didn't think it through. So it's important to have a backup plan, like an escalation path, right? Oh, here's the rule. If you don't do it, oh, you got time in your room, or oh, you don't get any screen time, or oh, whatever it is. Right? For us, a lot of it is early bedtime or more take away their audiobooks sometimes. But again, that hurts me because I love audiobook time because it's quiet. So I choose which days I'm going to do that. And if you're going to change the rule in your house, like maybe you're just like, yes, Sterling, I have been an inconsistent pushover mama, and that stops now. I am not going to have a stressful summer with these kids. Remember, and this comes from Dr. Ray, but I love it. It takes 1 month of retraining for every year they've been getting away with it, right? So if you have a 7-year-old kid who's been walking all over you for 4 years, right? Probably not 7 years, probably like 3 or 4. It might take you the full 3 months to train that out of that child, okay? And that might feel like a lot, but again, you will be less annoyed if you can just pep talk yourself. All right, 3 months. 3 months and I'm going to have the kid that I want. And then every summer is going to be easier after that, okay? And none of this is perfect. All kids have bad days, but it shouldn't be every day, and you shouldn't be losing your mind to just live with your own children. That is Jordan Peterson's point. You cannot be a good parent or raise good kids if you're both living in this like weird, toxic, boundaryless environment all the time. And it will turn them into adults that have those same issues, okay? So that applies to kids who don't listen or kids who make messes. So that to me is a two-part training issue. One, just teaching them to clean up in general. Like my kids have to put the Play-Doh away before they get the do-a-dots out, right? And I've just taught them they can have one thing out at a time. And that took a long time, and I have to do it with each child. And if they leave something out, they lose it for a couple days. And all of this is exhausting, especially when it's new, but it's really what adds up to good parenting and having a lovely, peaceful house. And then the second piece of that is just that daily tidying, which for us happens twice a day. You know, because they're not going to put everything away every time. And that's okay with me. I'm strict about art because that tends to get out of control, but not with our playroom. Like, take everything out if you want, but we're going to tidy up before or after lunch and before or after dinner. Okay? And again, if this is new, sit the kids down and tell them. And tell them why. Say, you know what? I want to have a great summer. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to be snarky and short with you. They know these things. And so this is our new rule. It might take us a little bit of time to figure it out, but here's what's going to happen. Be very clear about that. One mom said, you know, I don't want to entertain them all day. Of course you don't. And you shouldn't have to. And we're like the first generation of parents that has ever felt the need to do that. And I hear that all the time from moms, you know. And they feel so guilty if they don't want to sit on the carpet and play stinking cars with their kids. And I'm like, oh, I would go nuts if I had to do that all the time. And so this is a little bit more about setting boundaries, just deciding like what you think is appropriate and then communicating that to the kid. But then also it's mostly going to come down to discipline and consistency. Nope, mommy will read books to you at 10. Or I tend to say after this activity, because I don't know the time. And then once my oldest started to learn how to read time, that really burned me on how often I'd say a time, but then it wouldn't work out that way. And I found that to be annoying, so I had to just change what I was doing. So now I say, like, after, you know, I'm done with X activity. That's the other thing. My kids will get a consequence for asking for things twice. You said we were going to do this. When are we going to do it? When are we going to do that? And usually the other two, my oldest two have figured that out. It's my almost 4-year-old that's just in that talky place. And I'll go, oh, I asked you not to ask me that again. Go stand by the door for 2 minutes. That's such a little thing, you know. And it just helps her. It just helps remind her we can't do that. It's unacceptable to treat adults like that. Okay, so the last thing was sunscreen. And we're going to talk about sunscreen in a different episode after this. But the annoyance of putting on sunscreen, it is annoying. So maybe some training about that. You know, okay, every time mom puts sunscreen, I'm going to start with your arms, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and get them into some sort of routine. I might even go as far as to make up a hokey song, something, and I would, if it was really a problem, and my kids fought me and whined a lot, I'd have a family meeting at a moment when we were not putting on sunscreen, and I would say, hey, let's talk about sunscreen, you guys, because it's summertime, and I want to have an awesome time, but every time I try to put sunscreen on you guys whine and freak out, but do you understand why it's important? You know, I might even find like a fun YouTube video about sunscreen and show it to them. Sometimes we just need to explain it in a moment that's not when you're at the beach putting the sunscreen on, okay? Because sunscreen is the key to having a super fun summer. Not the key, but a key. And we just need them to connect that up. I don't like putting sunscreen on, but I'm a redhead and I have to every time. And I have to wear a big goofy hat because otherwise I get burned, even with the sunscreen. And I've just learned that the fun is worth that. So communicating that, and then also the discipline here is tricky, right? Because you're already at the beach. You have to put the sunscreen on. And so you might need to be a little bit creative about what the consequence is for whining. I might say, like, I wouldn't take away a special treat. Let's say we brought popsicles to the beach. I think it'd be a little harsh on the day that I took the kids to the beach that I would to take away their popsicle. But I would say something like, you don't get to pick the flavor. So there's a small blow, but not taking away a fun family experience, right? So I'm pretty careful about ruining special events. But if we were just at the park down the street, I might say, oh, you know, your nap time is going to be 15 minutes longer, or your bedtime is going to be earlier, or whatever it is. Something like that. Okay, so don't let your kids annoy you, ladies. I want you to have a less stressful summer. I want to set you up for success. But your first job is to identify when you are being annoyed and to come up with a plan and then to communicate that to the kids and execute it consistently. Okay? If you're not sure about what you should do and you're just curious about what I would do, shoot me an email. I may not have a rule, but I would tell you what I think at least and say I'd try this. My kids don't have screen time, and that's such a great one to take away. My kids don't have that, so we haven't used that as a tool yet, but that's such a great one. I hear from parents all the time. The kids will just, they really get that pretty quickly, like, oh, you get less or more screen time depending on your behavior. All right, ladies, thank you for listening to Coffee and Pearls, and have a blessed day.